Did you know that humans are getting shorter? What does bacon and eggs have to do with the CIA successfully overthrowing the government of Guatemala? Which country has a life expectancy of only 14 years old? Learn the stories behind these and so much more in my new book, Facts That Aren't True. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions. Link in the description.
I mean, if God exists, there seems to be then the potential for another dimension in theory, right?
But it seems like we'd be able to detect the other dimension.
Maybe. I mean, there's definitely a lot of space and room we haven't been able to explore quite yet out there.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, there's no evidence that would point to this alternative dimension. We just believe it because... we want to hang on to the God concept. Once you get rid of the God concept, there's no point in believing in this weird extra dimension. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It just the fact that we even have these discussions and seem to have some sense of something outside of ourselves, which I'm not saying that's worth any warrant. I'm just saying it's strange that we all share that desire. Again, we share a lot of desires, but for me, it just seems like fine-tuning in the universe and where information somehow gets organized from what we observe with science, it seems just strange.
What's finely tuned?
What's finely tuned?
I don't see a finely tuned universe.
Well, what about gravity?
What about it?
If there was any variance, then we wouldn't be here talking.
Wrong.
How's that wrong?
You're suggesting that there's two problems with your argument. One is you don't actually know what the variance is, right? You're saying if it was any different, we wouldn't be here. But as it turns out, that's not entirely true. The gravity on the moon is 1/6 weaker because of its mass. Theoretically, we could have a gravity universally that's, 1/3 weaker, and it would result in something, right? We don't know what it would result in, but it would result in something. But the second part of the argument is that you're assuming that the intention, the purpose of the universe has to be life, but that assumes a creator, that assumes that there's something that is granting a purpose to the universe. But why? I don't think the universe has a purpose.
I wouldn't say assumes a creator. I would say it would be evidence to lead towards an intelligent agent of some sort.
Why? What? The fact that we exist has nothing to do with whether or not the universe is finely tuned. If the probability of life evolving from the universe is anything but zero, then it means it has to happen. You can't stop it.
If the universe is infinite, which it looks to be.
If the universe is eternal and infinite.
Well, Hawking doesn't believe it's infinite.
Well, Hawking disagrees with what you're about to say. He redacted his statement on time shortly before he died in one of his lectures. And he's also dead, and science has moved on since Hawking.
Well, I'm just saying there are other scientists who believe that there could be evidence that the universe has a starting point.
What would be the evidence, though?
I mean, even if it did, I don't see how that would be evidence for theism or deism. And if this, there's so many problems with the fine-tuning argument. If the universe is finely tuned for life, then life is an inevitable consequence of the universe. Life requires, there's no miraculous explanation required for life. That makes a universe with life indistinguishable from, or that makes a universe created by God indistinguishable from a universe not created by God, because life is an inevitable product anyways.
I would also add, with the fine-tuning argument, the problem that you're going to run into is you're assuming that if fine-tuning is a thing, that means it's a thing because God created the universe with some form of intention, right? Like, he didn't just do it willy-nilly. But if that's the case, then why did he shit the bed when he get to the earth? Why did he get to the earth and he's like, well, children are going to get bone cancer, women are going to die during childbirth, natural disasters are going to kill 100,000 people a year. Seems like an awfully big oversight when you're involved in all the fine-tuning.
Well, that brings up a whole other can of worms, which is the problem of evil and suffering.
Well, I don't think you're going to like the way this conversation goes, because I think the can of worms makes your God look even worse.
Yeah, but we don't even have to go there. Life is not subject to a different set of physics than the rest of the universe. So if the universe is finely tuned, then that means that the universe is finely tuned for black holes. And so, okay, God wanted black holes to exist. This whole human beings thing is just kind of like, I don't know, I mean, it happened, but whatever. Black holes are the real intention of the God. Because at the end of the day, Justin's already alluded to this, but you really just kind of have to beg the question and say that we exist is evidence of the conclusion we're looking for, which is the reason we exist.
Sorry, say that last part again. Explain that final part.
The circular reasoning involved in it. You're saying the universe, because you're saying the universe is finely tuned with the intention of life existing, and we know this because life exists and we observe the universe, and then we read into the point of that, the telos of us existing, which unfortunately is the conclusion we're searching for. So it's circular.
Well, I guess I don't see it quite like that. I see it as trying to use science to observe everything that we can in search of potential answers for the origin of life. And there just seems to be so many things, whether it is, you know, the physics stuff that we can observe that, you know, seem that there's some sort of potential tuning, whether it's nuclear force, electrons to protons ratio, all the way down to, you know, single cell organisms and how did the first single cell replicate itself. There seems to be a need for organized information in order for these things to happen, and that
that's true for the existence of stars and cow farts too, because the laws of physics apply to them the same way that they apply to us.
So does it apply to cow farts?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not subject to a different laws of physics. The constants apply to everything.
But my whole point is, how did they get into that position potentially?
Well, we don't know that, but what's unknown isn't evidence for...
I do know the cow farts.
Yeah, we know how those come to be. It's lots of fermentation, but anyways, yeah. What we don't know isn't positive evidence of a claim.
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying let's look at the evidence and let's continue to look for answers.
Right, I agree.
Yeah, that's fine. I just see fine-tuning as a conclusion. It came about from a conclusion in search of a explanation, which is not scientific in any way.
Right. Like, if you're looking at the universe and you're saying, you know, where does this evidence lead you to? To me, it doesn't lead me to a God. I see a universe full of chaos, which is pretty well explained in our model. It's not explained well in your model. You have to invent reasons why God would create the chaotic universe to be chaotic.
You know, well, yeah, there's a lot of different things you touched on in that. I think, here's what I was going to say. Sorry, I lost my track. It's not like I'm trying to start with the answer, you know, I'm not trying to be unscientific. I think since we do observe fine tuning in things that humans have created, and since we do observe it in with science, it could be a potential explanation. That we're not trying to just punt to.
Well, let's, yeah, but you're retrofitting. You're right. like Karl Popper. He sort of coined this term pseudoscience, and what he said pseudoscience is when you do this, when you do retrofitting. He really didn't like psychology because he said what he thought of was so much of what he saw in psychology was people fitting in explanations, which may be logically consistent and make sense, but they always do it with the facts already in mind, with absolutely no experimental apparatus or with no methodology. It's just always the retrofitting. So this is why, like, when I hear people say that this is scientific evidence of God or anything, because we could just plug in aliens and it works the exact same way. And I think the aliens explanation is actually more parsimonious because it requires fewer assumptions. I think really actually agrees that anything we see actually is evidence of aliens or simulation theory, because those are unknowns. And so it's just retrofitting.
Well, let me ask you this. In regards to that too, would you guys agree that, like, for example, Justin said, hey, give me evidence for this, or you might say, give me evidence for that. Would you agree that you, all three of us, we share all the same evidence?
I
guess.
Theoretically, we all share the same evidence. The question is, who is privy to what amount of evidence, right? So, like, the amount of evidence for biology that I'm privy to is different than Planet Peterson. He's going to be way ahead of me. The amount of evidence, say, if we're looking at, like, electricity, I think I might have an advantage there. So, like, I think it depends on what field you're in.
You would agree that all of us share the same evidence, because they're like, you know, some people might say, like, you guys might say, well, give me evidence for fine tuning. Well, it's not like I have any magical evidence. What I'm saying is we look at the exact same things and we come to different conclusions.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Okay. So let me ask you a question about that, because I think this will help sort things out. Okay. Again, I don't think everyone has the same evidence. I think everyone is working with a different set of evidence. So anyways, my question is, the Earth that we live on, do you believe that it was finely tuned?
Based on what I can observe, it seems like potentially yes.
Was it finely tuned for life?
It seems like it. Yeah.
Okay, can you explain why 100,000 people a year are killed in natural disasters?
Well, that doesn't negate the fact that life is still possible.
I didn't say if it was possible. I said finely tuned. See, because in my worldview,
for life or happiness?
Those for are two life.
Different things.
For
well,
life.
Well, your second part of your argument was about unhappiness. And
it wasn't about unhappiness at all. It's about life. You don't have life when you're dead.
So are you saying life should be eternal?
What I'm suggesting is that if babies are dying in earthquakes, that's not finely tuned for life, unless you think it is.
If life didn't reproduce, if life didn't reproduce, which it doesn't have to, but if it didn't do that, then life would almost certainly have been rendered extinct on our planet a long time ago. So that's the, like, life can exist in perpetuity on Earth, but it's barely able to cling to an existence on the planet. That's right. Kind of the point Justin's making.
Right. And we are living on this planet not because it's finely tuned for life. We're living despite the hurdles in front of us to live. It's quite the opposite. Like, we're living against the odds. Like, every day we have to get up and survive. Whereas if it was finely tuned...
The Earth or humans were finely tuned, I wouldn't have a job.
That's right. Yeah. Your doctors wouldn't need to exist, right? So, like, the idea that children can be born with bone cancer and that women would die in childbirth. In fact, for part of history, the death rate of children in childbirth was as high as like 30 or 40% in some countries. To me, this doesn't sound like fine-tuning. It sounds like chaos.
Well, okay. What I'm trying to say is there's two different things. There's either life being the ability for living living organisms. So there's the physical side of it, and then there's the experiential side of it. That's what I'm trying to... When you were asking me the questions, I was just referring to the physical side of life, actually just the ability to be alive.
So did God finally tune life for misery? Because that's what happens when you're born with bone cancer.
Well, cancer, that's a whole other, I mean, that's a whole other side issue. I don't believe God causes cancer. I believe it's the result of pollution and all sorts of man-made problems.
That would be wrong. Cancer existed for many thousands of years, and even dinosaurs have been discovered with bone cancer.
Do you have some fossils for that?
Yeah. We've got two dinosaur fossils with bone cancer. Have you not heard of this before?
I've heard of it. I haven't looked much into it. It still doesn't negate the fact that a lot of the cancers we observe
today is
man-made.
You are aware it's not man-made. That's a lie.
Well, cancer is not man-made.
No.
We understand the process at which cells become cancer. Again, you have specific genes in the body, like, for example, the proto oncogene and the tumor suppressor genes, etc., that modulate the division of cells. When they mutate in the same way that any other gene mutates, then you have problems which could lead to uncontrolled cell division, which is a cancer. This has nothing to do with man-made or not. Man-made carcinogens can lead to mutations, or exaggerating the rate of mutations in the human body to lead to cancer. But the main process that happens could happen literally in the womb. You could be born literally with cancer. Even if you're perfectly living outside of all human pollutions.
The sun gives you cancer if you're in the sun too long. Do you think that's fine-tuned?
Why do people who live by the equator, their skin's perfectly fine?
No, they get skin cancer too.
It's not perfectly fine. The rate of cancer is less because they have more melanin.
Yeah, exactly.
But they still get skin cancer, though, from the sun.
That would take a little bit of a deeper dive I haven't looked into.
Yeah, that's a misconception. I mean. Yeah, people with dark skin still get skin cancer.
Yeah, I'd have to look into that further. I don't have a ton of information on that.
I mean, Ems is a medical doctor in a country that has people with dark skin.
The reason that it's less likely for them to get skin cancer is, again, because of melanin, which is protecting them from the ultraviolet radiation, which is by itself radiation that causes mutations in the body. So in the same way that I told you previously that the main mechanism that causes cancer to be produced is the same, but the way you get to this mechanism is different. And some stuff can exaggerate this mechanism and cause it to happen more rapidly, like carcinogens, which could be natural or man-made. In this case, we have a natural carcinogen, in this case, quote-unquote carcinogen, which we could consider the ultraviolet radiation from the sun to be. And when that hits your skin, if you do not have the adequate protection like melanin in your skin, it is more likely to cause mutations which lead to cancer.
Right. Now, according to an article from Dartmouth, from their medical school, 1 to 2% of all cancer cases among African American or people with dark skin is, in fact, skin cancer. So it certainly is present. Would the world be better tuned if the sun never gave anyone skin cancer?
Well, you wouldn't like my answer. Before that question, I would say there's more science coming out that sunscreen's causing skin cancer too. But sorry, that's a side note, not to your most recent question.
So again, they were getting cancer before sunscreen existed. It's a dumb argument. So would it be better if the sun didn't give anyone cancer?
Well, but doesn't the skin, doesn't melanin...
It's crazy that he can't answer a yes or no question. Would it be better if the sun didn't give anyone cancer?
Sure.
Okay. So would it be more conducive to life if people didn't get sun cancer?
In theory, yeah.
Okay, which means the sun seems to not be finely tuned for life. Unless you think that God wanted the sun to kill a percentage of people through skin cancer.
Programmed which is obsolescence. That's
wild. That's a really strange program for somebody that's perfectly loving.
People, the majority of people don't die from skin cancer.
I never said they did. Never said they did. I said that 1 to 2% of them with cancer are going to have skin cancer, and it would be better if the sun didn't give anybody cancer. The fact that they live on the equator is a completely useless talking point. It doesn't mean anything to me because we're talking about the planet, and guess what? Not everyone in the planet can just move to the equator.
Yeah. And the fact that it could, that it happens when it doesn't need to happen. If you were God, you could easily make it so that it doesn't happen. But mm-hmm. you're claiming that we are perfectly designed or finely tuned, or that the Earth or that the universe itself is finely tuned for us, and yet it allows these things to happen to us. Just shows you the flaw in your logic. Because right. why would that happen if it's finely tuned?
I'm not a skin cancer expert.
You don't have to be. It's just a logical problem. If God finely tuned the habitat we live in, why would he create it so that the sun is giving people cancer, especially when we need the sun?
What I'm trying to say, the majority of people don't get skin
I
cancer.
Just don't care. Exposure. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what the percentage is. It should be 0% if it was finely tuned. I design machines for a living. If my machine only hurts one person ever, I'm in trouble because it's a bad design. A good design is a machine that injures zero people. Nobody should ever get hurt on one of my machines.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fine tuning. So if God is fine tuning and he's all knowing, all loving, all powerful, then he shouldn't have created a habitat for us that inflicts harm needlessly upon us.
That's a fair point.
Right. So it's the fine tuning argument always fails once you get down to specifics. But anyways, listen, we've been up here for about 45 minutes, so I think it's time to move on to the next guest. But thanks for coming up, talking to us, and for being polite.
Yeah.